Yo, what up, everybody? This is the Victor Cruz Show. We're having a blast up here already, man. PR is here with me. Thank you guys for tuning back in. It's another week, another episode, the latest episode. I don't even know what number this is. What number?
I don't know. We're
doesn't
rocking.
Even matter. We're rocking. We're rocking through this. Welcome to the show. Shout out to P. I think we're gonna get right to an ad read immediately.
No.
What are we doing?
No.
I like to pay the bills.
Vic beat me to the studio one time. He's all about his business today.
I'm just right here. I'm itemized out.
He's all about his business. He beat me to one show and all the shows we've done. He's looking at his watch. He wants to dock me pay, although I don't get paid
Vic.
For this. It's crazy. Like
Punctual Vic is here today.
Now, we're going to start on a more serious note.
Okay.
Right? Want to give a shout out, love, prayers out to the good folks in Puerto Rico, man. I mean, what they're going through has been, you know, devastating is the only word you can really use for it. And no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you know, I think people are trying to make it political and there's reasons for this, that help hasn't gotten there and whatnot. I don't even want to get into any of that. You know, there's people in Puerto Rico that are in need. If by chance anyone in Puerto Rico, I know you have a lot of fans in Puerto Rico, Vic, anyone in Puerto Rico is listening, what would you tell them?
I mean, I just stay strong, man. There's help is on the way. There's people here in the U.S. that are dedicated and committed to helping everyone on that island. I still have family on that island that I haven't spoken to. I have uncles that live in Aguadilla. I got cousins that live around the island that I haven't heard from yet. I don't know if they're doing good, bad, if they're, you know, if their house is done or whatever the case may be. So that worries me day in and day out. I'm currently working with the NFL to do a benefit and do something to physically go down there. I want to go to Puerto Rico. So I'm working with the NFL to get those things going, get some funds raised between the Victor Cruz Foundation and the NFL and just continue to shed light on this situation that isn't being talked about as much as it should be because of the devastation that's been happening around the world. We're kind of numb to it all. But Puerto Rico is a serious thing, and it's a U.S. territory, too. We got to, you know, it's one of ours. We got to take care of it also.
I mean, they're saying it may be months before some parts of the
said 4 to 6 months. You got some family there, right?
I do. I have an uncle that have uncles there. Thank God they're safe. Didn't hear from him till probably 3-4 days after, and it was a neighbor that happened to be, like, in an area that had reception and called.
That's what happened, yeah.
And was like, hey, your uncle's okay.
So my aunt, her neighbor, which lived behind her, gave my other aunt a call and was like, hey, she's fine, you know, or if they're figuring it out. So
it's scary times, man. It's, you know, and shout out to everyone. Shout out to you for the work you're doing. I know, you know, it's near and dear to your heart, and you're continuously working on that. And like you said, trying to make a trip out there. Shout out to Mark Anthony, J-Lo. I saw they just put something together. I think Fat Joe just on Instagram. Yep. I just saw on his way.
Carmelo.
You know, yeah, Mello. You know, it's great. I'll tell you what. If anything, if you can say anything positive, right, if you can say anything positive that's come of this, has been seeing people come together, and try to help other people, you know, and not to get too corny, I always say it, like, we're all brothers and sisters, regardless of race, right, as humans. So my hope is that we can get help to the people that need it. Again, if anyone out there is listening from Puerto Rico or has family out there, you know, as you mentioned, Vic, I'd say, hang in there. We're very resilient people.
Stay strong, baby.
You know, hang in there. Help's on the way. You will continue to be in our thoughts and prayers. Anything in closing on that for you?
No, that's it, man. I just, like P said, stay strong. You know, continue to keep your head up. Pray as much as possible. Stay around your loved ones as much as possible. Because that's what we, you know, that's what everyone needs right now is love and attention and care and help's on the way, man. We're fighting for you over here. I can promise you that.
Agree. So, you know, pivoting a little bit, you know, it's your show. Your name's on the marquee. I'm still working on getting that changed. people that are tuning in are fans of yours, and they want to know, you know, what's the latest with you? Are there any updates? What's going on with Victor Cruz?
Everything's going well, man. Obviously, still staying ready, still staying, you know, ready physically for a phone call. But in the meantime, you know, daddy's got to go pay the bills, man.
Them bills don't stop.
They're going to keep piling up.
Oh, listen. Them
so
bills don't stop.
I recently just joined NFL Network, the great guys at NFL Network. I'll be doing a weekly show every Saturday morning, somewhat of a highlight show, okay, with the NFL Network team, Michael Robinson, the whole crew. So I'm excited about it, man. I get to go down to NFL Network every Saturday morning and do some good work, some positive work with those guys, and just get my get my commentating, my analyst chops up and see where it goes.
So this is break. I didn't even know this till you just broke it on the
brand
show.
Brand new.
So
I don't tell you everything.
Clearly, we're going to talk about this in a second. When we go off the air. So how'd this come about? Like, they reach out to you, you reach out to them. Is it something you've always wanted to do?
The funny thing is, within hours of Chicago releasing me, they sent over a formal agreement, the whole thing.
Oh,
they
wow.
sent over a formal agreement. Here, this is on the table. If he wants it, we're ready for him to come in and do, you know, and be with us and do whatever it is he wants to do. So I thought about it for a while. I was kind of up and down. The season hadn't even started yet. So I was just, you know, weighing out all my options and figuring out what I wanted to do long term moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So once, you know, kind of a week started to transpire, I did something with Yahoo in London. I went out to London for the Baltimore-Jacksonville game and did some cool stuff surrounding that game prior to, as well as some pregame stuff for that game. So that kind of opened my eyes to it a little bit. I saw, obviously, other guys on the side, Steve Smith, Ed Reed, who was just chilling in the area and said what up to me and whatnot. So I'm excited about it, man. I think it's a different way for people to get to know me a little bit more in a verbal way of me talking and providing my opinion. And it puts me in a different space, man. I got to talk about certain issues that I may not have had to talk about before, or I have to talk about them subjectively and not have an opinion because of who it is or
right. If
it's a teammate or if it's someone that I'm close with. I have to still have a subjective opinion, which is pretty difficult for me, especially when I get questions, you know, about Odell or about, you know, anyone else in the league, Eli Manning, whoever it may be. Those are my guys. Those are my brothers, people I went to war with. But, you know, it's interesting to see how I can handle it and see where it goes.
So it'll be weekly?
It'll be weekly every Saturday, as well as doing some Good Morning Football, which I did yesterday, every couple of days or so, every other week maybe, something like that.
So will you be in a suit on the sidelines?
I won't be on the sidelines on game day, on game days.
Okay.
But I will be in a suit in the studio. I'll be suited and booted. Why not?
Okay. You excited about that? You feel like a rookie? Like, what do you?
The funny thing is, I had a production call today.
Okay.
And they asked me, like, is there anything you're worried about or you want to talk about or anything you want to stay away from? And I'm like, I'm shockingly comfortable. Like, I'm just, like, ready to go in there. We're just talking football, something I've played my entire life. Obviously, it's a little bit more research that goes into it. Mm-hmm. I got to study these teams and kind of know something about these teams other than the Giants. Obviously, I don't know everything about them.
Right.
But it's a switch up for me, a little bit of a change, but I'm excited about the challenge.
So where do people tune in to see you?
People can tune in every Saturday morning. I believe it's roughly at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Eastern time.
Yep.
On NFL Network.
Me? Got you. Okay.
And so you can tune in to me on NFL Network every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. With myself, Michael Robinson, and the host of that show as well. We'll be doing some cool stuff around the game, talking to upcoming games. We're going to be talking fashion, talking fun stuff. It's not just all buttoned up, suit and tie type of things. We're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics.
And just to be clear, I know this, but I want it on record. You're still working out?
4 days a week.
Still working out 4 days a week, still ready should you get that call?
Absolutely.
Say no more. Mm-hmm. And listen, clearly you're still doing it because we have a sponsor for your show today.
Talk about it.
Listen, man, you don't get sponsors if you're whack, if you're washed.
Not at all. It's not what happens here. You only get sponsors when they believe in what you got going on, believe in your my talent level. This is the Victor Cruz Show.
Yours, mine, ours. So okay. It's basically the same thing.
Just get to that.
Listen. Shout to the good folks at SeatGeek. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. But buying tickets to sporting events and concerts can be complicated. Thankfully, there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience lets you buy and sell tickets in just two taps. Better yet, by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and grading each ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats for the best price, fully guaranteed. I personally have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and just with a few taps, I can instantly find seats. As I think I mentioned on another show, I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to a Yankee game, which isn't the easiest ticket in town to find these days. And the experience was like no other. Super simple, two taps, done, tickets, family at the game, pictures, selfies, all good. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Here's the best part, Vic, your favorite part. Best of all, your listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase.
Tell them that code.
Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Victor today. That's promo code V-I-C-T-O-R for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
If you get that one wrong, you don't deserve to be at the Yankee game. Let's start with that. Let's start with that.
Man, shout out to the good folks at SeatGeek who have been a sponsor of the show for a while now, man. So
appreciate you, SeatGeek.
For sure.
All right, let's get right to it, man.
It's a lot.
It's a lot
to get to. We're going to be heavy on the hoops this show, man.
Heavy on the hoops, yo. It's going to be an interesting NBA season. I guess the latest drama is Melo going to OKC. How do you feel about that?
You know what? I think it's personally. Here's what I'll say. I'll say it's great for Melo going to OKC. I think it's great for the Knicks because they're finally rebuilding, right?
Officially.
Finally, no more Band-Aids. Let's rebuild. Let's call it what it is.
Yep.
The only issue I have is how Melo was treated by the Knicks while he was here during this process.
Yeah.
This is a man
dragged through the mud.
No, I mean, this is a man that, love him, hate him, gave the best years of his career. That's not debatable. The best years of his career to the New York Knicks. Non-winning teams, showed up every day, played, whether you love or hate his game. I think the man deserved a little more respect than he was shown. Can you, I mean, you being, you know, the face of a franchise, the face of a city, like, and knowing how much you love New York and knowing how much Melo loves New York, and he's a personal friend of yours and mine, like, can you speak about, like, that sometimes tussle, like, New York? It's tough, man. Not everyone can play here and handle that.
It's tough, man, because on one end you have the perception of the front office and how they perceive you and how they talk to you and how they perceive you as an athlete. And because how they perceive you as an athlete is completely different than how they perceive you as a human being and as a person. They might love you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think the Giants got rid of me because they didn't love me, you know? I think due to the circumstances on the field, it was like, okay, we have to move on from a football perspective. Mm-hmm. But if they kept everybody that they loved and that they created a relationship with and treated the organization the right way, I mean, Brandon Jacobs, and everybody still be on the team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well, you said it, you're like, it's a business.
It's a business.
Right.
And that thing, and it's tough in New York because you understand on one end there's the business aspect, and then on the other end there's the fan, the fanatical aspect of it that play a part in your brain. You know what I'm saying? And it's tough to separate the two, and it's tough to have a strong opinion on either side because it's such a pull and pull on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tough for Carmelo to go through this because on one end he's got, you know, ownership saying things about him that are definitely not true or things that, you know, are looked at in a bad light. And he's like, man, should I respond to this? Should I not?
It's a lose-lose sometimes.
You know, it's a lose-lose. Yeah. You say something, you sound crazy, or you risk the likelihood of sounding crazy, and then the fans look at you. So there's so many layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, for the most part, he handled it the best way he possibly could. I know some of us and some friends of ours and people around the league and fans wanted him to kind of speak up a little bit more and say what he wanted to say, but I commend him for just going about his business and handling it the way he wanted to handle it. And now he's in a better situation. He got a guy that can deliver him, that can give him the basketball. He's got another guy on the team that can score the basketball at will. Obviously, Russell can as well, but Paul George can, you know, put up 25 points a night easily. And he comes in as the four. Did you see when they asked him about coming off the bench?
He literally laughed. He was like, who, me?
Who, me?
He was literally, like, not sure. He was, like, befuddled. Like, who, me?
He said, yo, P. He yelled at somebody. He was like, yo, Paul, they talking about me coming off the bench. That was amazing.
Nah, I'll say this. I think the night of the, and you were there with us, the night of the Ronnie Fi Kith show, right? He came out and showed love. And we went out to dinner afterwards. It was me, LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Melo, Mav, Rich, Randy. Shout out to the fam. And
where did I go after that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we know where you went.
I went home. I went to bed. I went to bed. I was
and I remember asking him, so that wasn't you at the after party we saw after?
Sleepy. I was sleepy.
But I remember asking Melo, like, hey, like, what do you think is going to happen? And you know, a true testament to the pro he is, he was like, look, P, he's like, you know what? He goes, I'm working out. I'm in the best shape I've been in a very long time. If I'm with the Knicks, great, because I love this city. And if not, that's okay, too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think he handled it the best he could handle it. I think to our earlier point, it was a lose-lose for him no matter what he did. I will say that I don't think people are giving OKC the respect they probably deserve. I mean, it's real. I mean, don't get it. They have two
very real.
Because I don't know about you, I have Paul George in my top five NBA players.
1,000%
So they have two top five NBA players.
I think he's
the team.
Number five.
Could be yes. Number yes. five. I'll give so you have two top five NBA players, and you have Melo, who's good for 20 anywhere on God's green earth.
By the way, they disrespected him putting Lonzo. I mean, Lonzo Ball ahead of him on the top.
Yeah, who, it was like he was like 64th or something like that. Melo, like he was
who's
like
doing that. That's not okay.
That's one thing I'll say, and that, and I think you know to your earlier point of we all wanted, wished Melo would have spoke up a little more or whatnot. I think the cool part about it was, and you just did this, you know this with players you play with, the players know what it is.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if you saw Draymond, who's also a friend of, of the fam. If you saw Draymond speak on it, Draymond's like, look. I'm not saying Melo's the Melo of 6 years ago. He goes, but shit, not many people are.
Exactly.
But let's not get it confused. There's not 63 better players in the NBA.
No way.
And that's where I think it became tough for him, where it was like you have like the franchise not treating me great and Phil talking the shit he was talking at one point. You have the media, you know, like I think he handled it as best he could.
I think he did a great job. I think he did a great job. But I Dwayne Wade is back with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Listen,
my
man.
Friend.
Listen.
And he wasn't, it's not like this, let's be clear, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't like the, I don't know, Kurt Thomas coming back to the Knicks and not getting any playing time and just coming, nah, D-Wade averaged what, 19?
I think 18, 19, something like that, yeah.
That's a legitimate amount of, you know what I mean?
No, listen, especially on a team when now D-Wade becomes the third option, right, because you have Bron and K-Love, and look, I love D-Wade going to Cleveland. I'm probably the most biased person, so fair, right? But I love D-Wade going to Cleveland for a number of things, right? It's what's not debatable is his championship pedigree. That's not debatable. What's not debatable is, similar to Melo, he's good for 18 anywhere on God's green earth. And on some nights, he'll give you 30. Don't get it effed up.
If he get going one night.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. If you get it going. Put 30 on your head. And meet you at the rim if you're feeling froggy.
Can he still do that?
Yeah. If you feel every now and then. Once every 56 games.
Gotcha.
You know?
So if my carry the one.
Yeah, if you carry the one. It's basically like once a season. Yeah.
Got it.
Basically.
Oh, I mean, there's
playoffs. But he's also huge voice in the locker room, right?
Huge.
And I think more than anything, what it does is, look, my humble opinion, last year, all props to Golden State. They were a monster of a team, right? A dynasty. I think at times it felt like it was Bron going to war, like with a pencil, right? And I think certain people didn't show up that you'd hope would show up. What I like about this Dwayne Wade move is the depth it gives Cleveland. Now, I'm not a coach. I don't know what it is. I'm saying all this assuming that Dwayne Wade slides into the starting two.
Switch goes to the bench.
But it puts him at six man, which I think he could be six man of the year and the best six man in the NBA. His game is perfectly suited for six man.
He's already won it before.
Right? Like his game, he comes in, let it fly.
I know he won't be opposed to it.
No, let it fly.
He understands.
And he becomes featured with the second team. Right? He's the guy that's gonna get you buckets with the second team. Right? He gets looks and he could still get his 30 minutes a game.
Listen, if he doesn't want to do it, I can sign that 10-day. Listen, Swish.
You got a little bit of time on your hand.
Swish.
Both from Jersey.
I'm not very busy at the moment. I can come down to training camp, lace up.
You're ready in shape.
Only thing is I gotta wear my Kyrie's on the court.
No, that's not gonna work.
That's not gonna work. But they're so comfortable.
Listen, speaking of Kyrie.
Wow. Perfect segue.
Speaking of Kyrie. So Kyrie going to Boston. Look, how or why or whatever really is irrelevant, and it's been discussed every which way. I genuinely hope, because I know Kai, as you do, you know him better than I do, you guys are both from Jersey, that it works out for him, right? I think what's not debatable is Kai is a phenomenal talent.
Yep.
Not debatable. I think he's 25 years old. You know, he's an NBA All-Star. What is a little bit questionable is how he's handled the whole situation.
It's a little weird, to be honest with you. I didn't expect
Did you see that interview with on First Take? Did you see any of it?
I didn't see it.
It was bad.
Really?
It was bad, in my opinion, because it's not like, and you know this, you do this for a living, it's not like it was after a game and someone put a mic in his face. It was an interview.
Was calculated,
he volunteered for it. It's an interview he went. He didn't even call it in. He went to Bristol to do the interview.
He went on site.
Yeah, suited and booted. And it almost looked, and like I said, I know Kai is an intelligent young man, but it almost looked like he wasn't prepared for the interview. And what I mean by that is Stevie Wonder could see they were going to ask him questions about LeBron.
Of course, right? That's all he had really to know cares that. About, right?
He was almost bothered and flustered by the questions.
Really?
And I think at one point he told Max, "You're a man, I'm a man. Leave it alone."
Wow.
Like, stop asking me about it already.
Yeah.
That to me was like, oh, that's what you signed up for, homie.
To his credit, this was Max Kellerman conducting the
interview. Right. And Stephen A.
They were both of them.
Yes.
Oh, that's a tough room.
Yeah, it is. But he signed up for that. And my
that
point
kitchen
is,
gets
but
hot.
Vic, my point of it is, the previous situation Kai was in, he didn't have to worry about any of that. Because big homie,
chilling, yeah.
Big
somebody
homie in the corner locker room took care of it, good and bad.
Uh-huh.
It changes. That it oven changes. Gets a little hotter when it's you, Papa.
That caliente?
Yeah. That oven gets a little hotter when it's you. So, you know, that was the first questionable thing. You know, I'm not going to speak about, like, how he handled the actual trade request, all that. That's his business.
That's his business.
And he's more than, you know, he's earned a right to handle his business however he wants to handle
100%.
It.
100%.
Right? So that interview was a little shaky to me. And then recently, I think yesterday or today.
I can read the quote for you.
Please
if
do.
You want me to read
Kai
the quote.
Makes a quote. Please do.
Kyrie makes a quote, and they said this is his reaction to D-Wade's decision to join Cleveland Cavaliers.
All right.
I guess they asked him about it.
Okay.
And he says, quote, "LeBron was always like, Wade used to do this, Wade used to do that. So I'm not surprised they're going to team up. Obviously, I could never live up to his expectations. I just hope that they're happy together." This sounds like a breakup.
You know who
it
reminds me of? I'm going to tell you who it reminds me of. Shout out to Christina Williams. She was my high school girlfriend My high school girlfriend freshman year. That's what that sounds like.
How did it end? Did it end bad? Did it end like this?
Doesn't it always end like this? Ends like this. Shout out to Christina Williams. That's what Kai reminds me of in this.
It feels a little high schoolish, if I had to put a term for it.
Just like, let it be. You don't have to.
Just
and this is where his biggest growth opportunity is going to be.
Right now.
It's not on the court, though, because he's super talented.
Because he's going to get, he's the quarterback.
Yeah, he's super
talented.
He's going
to get the blame.
It's this.
They're going to come right to him after every game, win, lose, or draw.
Yes.
And ask him his opinion, what went wrong, what went right, blah, blah, blah.
And you've been in that seat. It gets hot.
It gets caliente.
It's very spicy.
I might still have a little burn from a couple years ago.
Hey, perfect transition. Speaking of hot, speaking of, you know,
boiling.
Hot seat.
Boiling.
This NCAA FBI investigation.
The fact that those letters are all together.
Sheesh. Look, you and I have been in the business of sport all our lives, right? You've played business, both, all of it. NCAA to us has been like our FBI, right? It's
100%.
Like NCAA is doing an investigation, NCAA sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
Them three letters.
Against the NCAA.
This
against.
Listen, this isn't some like 62-year-old lady in the compliance office.
Oh, no.
You know, looking under a rock and saying, oh, did this guy get, you know, $200 more than he was supposed to with his stipend. This is the FBI.
And when the FBI comes with those indictments, they're not coming because they have an inkling.
No.
They've
already done their research
from years in advance and already got they already got what they need.
So for those of you that may not know what we're speaking of, this week the FBI announced they had made 10 arrests.
Mm-hmm.
Inclusive of 4 assistant coaches at the NCAA Division I level at major schools, and had made arrests of other people, inclusive of the top marketing person at Adidas.
Yeah, so
you know,
that.
top Adidas basketball marketing person. I think it's safe to say, and you and I were speaking about this kind of before the show, was like, as sad as whatever you want to call it, I don't think the allegations were surprising for anyone that's been around the sport. The fact that there were arrests made sent shockwaves through the
shockwaves.
The fact that someone like Coach Pitino, who is Teflon, is as much of a made man as you can become.
Oh, don't hit him with the Italian.
No,
mob
he's Teflon.
He did
Pitino's
wear all
a
white.
Yeah,
on the side.
Yes, Pitino is a made man. The fact he lost his job and got touched over this, that means anyone can lose their job over this.
That's insane.
The other thing is, to your earlier point of the FBI versus the NCAA, this isn't like they think, you know, they got a tip, you know, they are investigating. They have wiretaps, video footage.
Wow.
I mean, surveillance. Like, this is a full-fledged FBI investigation.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Nike just got subpoenaed for the EYBL league.
That's the rumor, yes. So, yes, so the rumor is, or it was announced today, not even a rumor, it was announced today, you can Google that, the Nike EYBL, which is their youth basketball league, their elite youth basketball league, was subpoenaed. I don't know exactly what that means, if it was people at Nike, if it was people that run the league or whatnot. Exactly. All that tells me is maybe this is just these 10 people that got arrested. It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, 1,000. Yo, did you hear Dickie V on the...
No, but I can imagine. Fed up Dickie V is the best shit ever.
Fed like, up. He's, it's not going away soon, baby.
Oh, my God.
It's not going away. It's just he said, when they sat him down, they're singing like birds.
Here's another thing, too. Speaking of that, you know, NCAA investigations versus FBI investigations. NCAA is like, we're going to take a couple of scholarships away.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ban you for
we're
March Madness.
Vacate your
wins. Yeah, all that. FBI is jail time.
You think they call Calipari at any point in time?
No, talk about Teflon.
That boy, if he's somewhere with a Mai Tai right now, he's somewhere.
There's an umbrella in his drink right now. I know that. I don't know where he is, but there's an umbrella in his drink.
And there's no mosquitoes.
No, listen. I saw something that they were talking about, you know, and we don't mean to make light of the situation itself, but they were saying that the 10 people that were arrested, some of them are facing 80, 100 years. Like, these are federal offenses.
What did they? What could they have possibly done to face 80 years in prison in an NCAA?
Well, here's the thing. So you and I may view it as, I'm not saying it's right or wrong or we're endorsing it or minimizing it. You and I may look at it like, oh, someone took money. Someone took $20,000 to do some shit they shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
FBI says that's wire fraud. That's bribery. That's money laundering. By definition.
It is. All right? of the above.
Right? So when you start looking at maximums against that, and I'm not a lawyer by any stretch, but that's how they get to that 80 number.
That's how they get to it. And then they plea deal you down.
Yeah. Or.
Or you give up.
Hey, Vic, you want this 80 years? Or. Hey, here's a little notepad, a little pen. Talk to us, Papa. I don't know.
That's so tough.
What?
That's so
especially
tough.
Especially understand this, man. You and I come from inner city. These aren't some street dudes that knew what they were signing up for and got caught up, and it's like code of the street, you know, whatever. Not to mention some of those dudes snitch too.
1,000%.
These are college basketball coaches that coach college basketball camps in the summertime.
UTEP graduates.
Yes. That someone comes and tells them, by the way, the assistant coaches, let's say they range from, I'm making this up, I don't know this, let's say they range from ages 28 to 48. The game that they've been in, this is how it operates.
This is how it works.
Right? That's how it's
for
been.
For years.
I'm not saying it's okay, but that's how it's been.
For years.
So now you come knock on their door, you put them in cuffs, and you tell them, you're facing 80 years for doing your job or doing what you've come up doing.
Wow.
Or.
Not the whisper.
Here's this notepad and a pen. Just write a couple of names down. Write a couple of names. What have you seen? Or put this little wiretap on and, you know.
Send you back out there.
Yeah, go talk to someone.
Send you back out there.
It's scary.
That's spooky, man.
It's scary,
that's
man.
That's spooky. And it's not ending anytime soon, man. They're going to keep uncovering, keep what I can say is that any of you young, aspiring agents, basketball aficionados that want to be in the sport, agents, whatever the case may be, dust off those resumes, man. There's going to be a lot of job openings out there. And real ones that are looking for real people that really want to make a change and don't have to worry about climbing that ladder of success between the peers that kind of run the whole thing, you're going to be good to go. You're going to have a clear vision, and you're going to have a real opportunity to land with an agency and have the job of your dreams.
I say this, man. I mean, it's, you know, we don't mean to make light of it. It's real lives, real situations, college athletes and families. I mean, this thing's scary, you know. Where this can end. So I wish everyone luck. I hope it works out for everyone. But, you know, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg and it's just getting started, unfortunately.
100%.
So perfect transition, I think, in terms of just things being out of control and not knowing where things are going. It's my personal favorite part of the show. cut his mic off, and this is the part of the show where someone has said or done something that is just so crazy, so out of pocket that Vic chooses on his show to say, you know what, we're just gonna cut your mic off. And I know when we were talking about this, I never ask you who it is. I never know till you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying you had a lot of options this week.
I had some options.
Right? Had a lot of options.
Donald Trump's a candidate every
week. And we were
saying
every week, like, he's an option. Every week he could be an option. So you said this is one of your tougher weeks because there's a lot going on.
Tough week.
Whenever you're ready, let's hear it. Whose mic you cutting off this week?
I want to start this off. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Victor Cruz Foundation. If you go to victorcruzfoundation.org, you will see all the information is to be a part of the Victor Cruz Foundation.
Yes, sir.
We're now, I think there should be something up there for Puerto Rico. Okay. If you go on there and want to be acclimated in that.
What's the address again?
victorcruzfoundation.org.
Okay, there we go.
Make sure you guys check that out. Now, cut your mic off portion of the show.
Here we go.
Now, I'm currently unemployed, mm-hmm. Paul Rivera. I do not have a job. And this person that I'm going to cut their mic off may hinder me from being a part of that specific organization.
Yeah, hold on one second. Hold on. Let me protect you from yourself. When you said this before the show, I thought you were kidding when you were saying that the person's mic you're going to cut off, it may affect you. It may, like,
a little bit. But this is my show.
Okay.
My name's on the marquee. Okay. Right. Jerry Jones.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm going with Jerry on this one. God. Yeah, 100%.
Dallas Cowboys owner
Jerry Jones. And this is my personal opinion. Nobody else has to feel this way. I respect everyone else's opinion on this. But I did not like the fact that he knelt before the anthem. Mm. It was still a very, very public display of leadership and unity and togetherness by that team in a time where these circumstances are rough and it is hard for minorities to be taken seriously and all of that stuff. But the point of the matter is to take the knee and show your disdain for how the country is being run during the national anthem. And he went out and said that no one will kneel for the national anthem because they will be cut and terminated immediately.
Well, he really said that?
Came out and said that.
I didn't see that.
It was a previous quote that he came out and said, if anyone kneels during the national anthem while they play and wear a uniform for the Dallas Cowboys, they will be cut immediately.
Wow.
So in my opinion, that was the perfect moment for Dez Bryant, Dak Prescott, or even Ezekiel Elliott, take that knee during the national anthem. Let's see if he cuts you. Let's see if he does it. There's no way that he can cut the best players on his team that he needs to win these ball games, and it's basically another level of controlling what his players do. That's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. This is about players showing their disdain and showing how upset they are because of what the president has said and the way this country and this government is treating us. And it's not okay. And I think that those specific players, I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but I'm saying they had an opportunity, and I would have loved to see if any of them would have taken a knee during the national anthem to see, just to prove and test his hand. Because it would have been, if someone would have taken a knee and he didn't cut them, or he did cut them, it would have been a story, and it would have raised the level of awareness from a 10, which is where it's already at, to a 15. It would have blew it through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of him saying those words, A, he needs to get his mic cut off. B, he needs, or someone needs to tell him and advise him what this is really all about. Yes, you took the knee before the anthem, and I commend you for that. And it showed togetherness and the unity that we've been looking for throughout this entire league. But the point of the matter is, when that national anthem is playing, that's when you're supposed to show the togetherness and take the knee. And that's when someone on the specific Dallas Cowboy roster, someone of importance that they need to win games, that they make a game plan for, Dez Bryant, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, who else? Anyone on the defensive side of the ball, DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, he's still a young guy, obviously, but someone on that team should have took a stand during that national anthem. and prove to the league that they're really about this and they're really for this act of, you know, this activism that everyone's doing right now in the NFL and across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been good to see.
And how about this? Doesn't even have to be a black player. How about a Witten? How about a leader of that team?
Tell me about it.
You know, the thing I was most disappointed in with that entire situation was they're the Dallas Cowboys, right? They were playing primetime too, right? Was it Monday night?
It was Monday night.
Monday night football. I think they had teed up on a platter the perfect opportunity to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like they copped out a little bit. Like, yep. You know what? We're going to make a statement, but we're not really going to do that. Right? And in regards to the Jerry Jones comment, which I honestly had not heard or seen or knew about till you just mentioned it, it brings up, you know, and I won't even allow you, I'll cut your mic off if you comment on this. I won't even allow you to comment on this. It brings me to a space of some of these owners taking ownership literally.
Mm-hmm.
And them thinking or acting in a manner of, you know, like, I own you, and you're not allowed to express yourself. You're not allowed to stand what
that's
you stand for.
That's the feeling
for.
I got.
That's a very bad feeling.
That feeling is terrible to me. It feels like I'm, because let's be clear, for any of you that don't know, as players, we already feel that way.
Mm.
We already feel like, especially on days, like, there's days around the league where maybe the tail end of training camp or an off day that they made us come in and then it should have been an off day. It's like, it typically happens when we have a couple days off. And then, like, let's say we have a Sunday game and we have a bye week the next week. Typically, they're like, all right, we'll probably come in Monday and then he'll let us go. Like, we'll see you next Monday. But those times where you bring us in on a Tuesday for nothing to get in the lift and watch film, and then when you know guys are already mentally kind of checked out because mm-hmm. there's a bye week and you bring us in for an extra day, those are the things where we feel controlled. We feel like, although they have every right, we work for them. This is what we do. This is the sport that we signed up for. But part of us feels like, man, they're really controlling us in times where they don't really have to. We can come in and get a lift in and watch film on our own. We're all adults. We can figure this out. We have 7 days, 10 days to prepare. You know, it's just little things like that that kind of put us in a mode and in a mood that feels like we're being constricted and held back from ownership and from coaching staff or whoever's pushing the buttons up there. And it just doesn't feel right for us, and it doesn't feel good as an athlete and as a human being. And I think that's where someone on, and I was watching First Take a couple of days ago. Max Kellerman made a good point. It was his last, you know, how they do final take and whatnot. And he literally called out Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
Oh, wow.
And said, hey, man, you guys are the hierarchy of the NFL right now, are the faces of the NFL right now. And, you know, those guys are staying mum on all of this. They haven't really put their toe in that water for whatever reason. I mean, I'm not blaming them. They have their own agendas and their own things that they want to get across. But this is such a big issue. And someone like either of those two people would really, really open the eyes of the world. And just to get their opinion right, wrong, or indifferent. And, you know, shout out to Drew Brees. Drew Brees came out and said how he felt, mm-hmm. how wrong this is, and, you know, the things he planned to do to encourage his teammates and everyone to stay focused on the goals and things like that. So I think it's just little things like that can help push this country forward and set an example for everyone around the league.
So a couple things, right? We're very clear. You remind me every day. This is your show, the Victor Cruz Show. We're very clear that cut his mic off is your segment. Okay?
It is.
But I'm going to add something to your cut his mic off.
Okay.
I know we didn't plan this. We didn't discuss this.
Oh, boy.
And I was quiet because I wasn't sure if this person was going to be your cut his mic off.
Okay.
And it hurts my heart because this person's one of my all-time favorite athletes and players.
Don't build him up to break him down.
No, listen. And I'll go a step further. He may be the best to ever do it at his position ever.
Whoa.
Ray Lewis.
Oh, that's where you're going?
Very disappointed with the way he handled this past weekend.
He said he prayed? He kneeled down?
He said he didn't kneel on one knee. He kneeled on both knees because he was praying for resolution of all this. Come on, dog. come on, dog.
Oh, it's funny. Not to cut you off.
No, go ahead, man.
I was having lunch at Ringside in Jersey City. Shout out to everybody at Ringside. And I was listening to the TV, and I hear someone very passionate and like saying, "I bleed this game. I'm from the streets. I done been through all of it." And I look up, and it's Ray Lewis, and he's irate because you know they call, like, fans are in uproar. They want to get his statue taken down.
Well, his man also, what's his name? Sharp, who's on
Sterling, Shannon Sharp.
He's on with
Skip Bayless.
Yeah,
yeah, Shannon Sharp, I believe.
He called him out and was like, "Yo, one of my personal friends, one of my best friends."
He cut his mic off too.
Ray Lewis, and he said, he called him a hypocrite. He said, "You stood in this chair right here,
wow,
and said you would never kneel against the flag because you have family in the military and all these other things."
He was praying.
He said, "But you kneeled." He said, "Because Trump said something and because it was the thing to do and all these other things." He made like a very riveting, passionate point. So what you saw was Ray's rebuttal to that.
Exactly.
And Ray came out and was like, "I would never kneel. I was on both knees praying." And I want to say it's James Brown that was on the show with him or whatever. He was like, wait. Ray, so if I'm understanding you correctly, like, I don't know if James was trying to, like, save him from himself or be like, come on, homie.
He's just giving him another chance to be like, be clear.
Yeah, Ray, don't do this.
Be clear.
Oh, my God. So for me, it was that. It's like, you know what? That's the beautiful thing about this country. The beautiful thing about this country is you have freedom of speech. You can believe in what you believe in without having to worry about someone, you know, stoning you or you getting thrown in jail or whatever. Freedom of speech, you can believe in what you want to believe in and you can peacefully protest it. So I don't have a problem with people that are on one side of it or the other. You feel you should kneel? Great, I respect it as your belief. You feel you shouldn't? Great, I respect it as your belief. Where I start to have a problem is two things simply. One is when you start passing judgment on people because of what they believe in. Oh, he shouldn't take a knee. Or he should. No, like, do what you do. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
The second part of that is have problems with people that are hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe you should be taking a knee, that's cool. Then don't do it. He shouldn't have been on that sideline then.
100%.
He locked arm in arm.
He was locking arms.
No, both knees. And then came back. It was like, nah, I wasn't kneeling. I was praying. Don't ever be that guy. Don't ever be the OG in the vet. And I'm not saying specifically this. Like, I have a bigger issue, and I know we're going to wrap up in a second. You know, we actually have your man Tyrod calling in.
Yep.
You know, but we'll wrap up this segment of it. But I have an issue with, like, the OGs of the game, like, shitting on the younger guys or, like, you know, get off my lawn. Well, yep. I would never do that. Or Barkley's whole comments about, you probably could have cut his mic off, too, talking about these guys are pampered and they can't play back-to-back.
I didn't like that, and I didn't like that Charles Barkley said, oh, it's an honor to go to the White House, no matter who's in there.
Chuck, cut it out. Chuck, you spit on a kid one time.
Come on, Chuck.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cut it out. Like,
don't do that.
I can't do that. You know what one of my other great passions about this country is?
What's that?
Sponsors for the Victor Cruz Show.
Oh, we got another one?
We have another sponsor.
Man, I'm going to put my feet up on this repeat. I'm not going to interrupt you one bit. We got to pay these bills. What's up? Who is it now?
So we have a sponsor here. We're going to go into the sponsor, and then your guy, Tyrod's going to call in.
Yep, my Tyrod Taylor's calling in. People.
Buffalo Bills.
Quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
So we'll do this, you know, we'll give a shout out to the sponsor of the Victor Cruz Show, and then we'll have Tyrod call in.
Perfect.
Okay. Question. Do you prefer clunky work boots or delicate fashion boots? Cheap boots that fall apart after a few wears or $400 boots that'll get you through the winter months? Well, here's something you might not know. There is another option. Thursday Boot Company is a three-year-old bootstrapped startup that has been shaking up the industry by selling really high-quality boots direct to consumer at unbeatable prices. Thursday boots are made with that versatility in mind, durable enough to take a serious beating, and sophisticated enough to clean up for a date. That's kind of like me. Like, durable enough to take a beating and sophisticated enough to clean up for a date.
Exactly you. That's actually your bio on Instagram, I think.
Plus, they are crafted using quality materials in the same North American manufacturing facilities as the heritage brands your parents and grandparents wore. Here's the best part, I think. With prices starting at $149 plus free shipping and returns, Thursday boots are hands down the best buy this season. And with their clean, timeless design and durability, they'll keep you standing confident for years to come. Head on over to ThursdayBoots.com. That's ThursdayBoots.com. And use the code FRESH. No.
Talk to
PR can't read. And use the code FREE SHIP today. That's two, like the number day.
Fresh Ipping. Yeah. Fresh Ipping.
Yo, head over to ThursdayBoots.com and use the code FREE SHIP today. That's two, like the number.
Fresh hip. Fresh hip.
We're going to try this one more time. Head on over to ThursdayBoots.com and use the code FREESHIP today. That's two, like the number, and day to have a pair on your doorstep by this Thursday. Shout out to Thursday Boot Company.
Yo, shout out to Thursday Boots. And just to be clear, there's no fresh hipping, okay?
It's free shipping.
There's no fresh hipping. It's free shipping, okay?
Hey, talk to us, man. Your guy Tyrod's about to call in. Why'd you want him to call in today?
Tyrod Taylor is one of my personal friends, a guy that I've seen obviously come up in the game, weight is due, and now he's obviously reaping the benefits of all his hard work and all the grind that he's put into this game from Virginia Tech. You know, he's from Virginia, obviously. Grew up watching Allen Iverson and all these different people. And I just want to, you know, hear his story from his own words, talk to him about some cool stuff. I know he's into fashion and all these different things. So I guess without further ado, we're gonna call him up here, right?
Perfect.
All right, let's get to T2.
Let's do it.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the show, the Victor Cruz Show to be exact. I'm so happy to announce I got my brother on the show, man, and he's calling in from, I'm sure he's getting a good work in out there in Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor, what's up, brother?
Not much. What's going on, bro?
Ain't nothing, man. Thanks for calling in. I want to get right to it. I want to get right to it. I don't even want to wait. I want to get right to it. First and foremost, for those of you who've been under a rock for a number of years, Tyrod Taylor is the starting NFL quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and he's been killing it year in and year out. Really one of the focal points and one of the rocks on that team, a leader on that team. And obviously we're happy to have him on the show. How do you feel about your season, the way it's going so far? I know it's still early, only 3 weeks in. How do you feel it's going so far, T?
Definitely early, like you said, but I got a great feel about this team. This team is together like no other team that I've been around. Guys love one another, we care for one another, but I think it shows out there in our play on the field. We've been through some tough times. It's the second week of the year was a tough loss for us, but to see guys continue to still fight in that game where some guys or some teams I've been on might have would have tanked, I think it was good to see guys continue to fight. And I mean, it didn't come out the way we wanted to, but I think we learned a lot from that game and was able to bounce back with a big home win last week against the Denver Broncos, who were 2-0 coming in to our house. But it's been a good season so far. Just got to continue to keep building and use the momentum that we had from last week moving forward. This is definitely a challenge for us this week. Looking forward to it.
Hey, Ty, talk to me about that play with Vaughn, man.
Just about to ask about that.
Which my favorite part of it was, I thought it was funny, and if anyone that knows Vaughn, it's part of his personality. The way you reacted to it, that you laughed, made it all the worthwhile for me. Talk us through that, man.
Yeah, like you said, if you know Vaughn, definitely his personality. Me and Vaughn actually came out from college the same year. So we've been friends since then, just through running into each other, actually being around each other in certain places. But I normally don't ask for help up off the field. I mean, I'm just not that type of guy. But I did put my hand out, and he hit me with the old school move. It's ironic that the official was right there beside it. And a lot of people ask, you think that the call on him was fair? To be honest, yes, because if it's anything that's unsportsmanlike, that is unsportsmanlike.
I mean, yeah. If you read in the textbook of what unsportsmanlike is, that is the definition, pretty much.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't a smart move on his behalf, but it was also fun. I mean, we was competing out there. So, like I said, I couldn't do anything but laugh at all. I was laughing more so because I didn't expect
you
to get. I mean, that's an old school move, man. You throw that on your
pants. Any move, but the old school throw the hand out there and snatch it back joint. That's amazing, bro. That had me dying. Every time I watched it over and over, I was crying laughing.
Yeah, your face was like, this dude did not just do this.
Especially if you know Vaughn. If you know Vaughn, you're like, oh, that's just Vaughn being Vaughn all day long.
Exactly.
All right, just to switch gears a little bit, I know you were a pretty good basketball player, P. I don't know if you know this, but there's actually three of us on this call that were good at basketball. Myself,
really?
Paul, that's our engineer.
Oh, I thought you were going with me.
Paul just showed us his form. And Tyrod, man. Tyrod, you're a pretty good basketball player. Tell us about your AAU career and things like that, guys you played against.
I grew up at the time when I was coming on the AAU circuit, OJ Mayo was kind of like the big guy on the market, as well as Greg Oden. So it was around that time, got a chance to play against those guys. There's many other guys that I can name, but those are probably the two that stand out. I played for Boo Williams growing up, but it all started as a kid growing up watching AI. I mean, I know a lot of people idolized their game after him, but for him being from the same neighborhood and actually being friends of the family, I was able to see it up close and personal. So, I mean, my love for the game definitely came from him. I mean, who didn't want to rock a – I was actually wearing – like, had my mom – I mean, not my mom, my grandma go make me like an arm sleeve. You couldn't buy them at the time. Like,
exactly. He made arm sleeves hot. Get my hair braided.
Yeah, I was trying to be him on the court. But I also knew that – it wasn't probably a long-term thing just because of my height. I mean, he did it at the height he was at, but not too many people have came through and been successful. My love always been in football, but I definitely was a good basketball
Ty, what was your type of game? Give me someone that you modeled your game after.
Talk to like, him,
were
Ty.
You offensive, defenses, a shooter? What were you? Talk to me.
I was definitely an offensive guy. I wasn't a pure shooter. I was a scorer. It's hard to to say who I'm like, I mean, because the guys I'm going to compare myself to.
His game is so unique, P. His game is so unique.
No, listen, when
I would say maybe a John Wall type.
Okay, talk your shit, Ty. Okay. Okay.
That guy just got paid a lot of money.
No, listen, he just
said. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's kind of tough when you're comparing your guy to an NBA guy. But if it was one guy, like I said, I love the way John Wall plays. He's not known for a pure shooter, but, I mean, he's going to get a bucket if he needs it.
Yeah, he's streaky.
Ty, if the Knicks had a 10-day and they needed someone to get them a bucket.
For sure. The way they're giving out these things, like a $70 million man.
1,000%. You and me both, yo. Man, obviously, as you know, as the world knows, you're super into fashion as well, as am I. I've seen you, obviously, in numerous events, red carpet events. Always looking fresh. Why? What got you into fashion? Was it something that was always with you? Did it just come about as you got into the league and they started to mandate things? You know, how did that come about?
It was always something that I was into. I mean, growing up, my mom, I mean, had an eye for fashion. She kept me in the latest. And then once I got to my own, where I was dressing myself and being able to buy stuff for myself, I always wanted to present myself and look nice in different scenarios or wherever I was at. The league, a lot of people always look at me on Sundays in suits and saying, well, maybe he's dressing up too much. But, I mean, Vic, you've been around it. You only get a chance to dress up so many times throughout the week.
Exactly.
So when you get a chance to actually show what you can wear, you want to be you want to stand out. You don't want to just be classified as other guys. So that's how I look at it. It's an opportunity to show your appreciation for fashion, as well as just to show other guys in the locker room, like, hey man, like I really do this.
Exactly.
Hey, it's a couple guys on the team that that can dress as well too. But I love looking nice. Be honest.
So you're saying you take the cake. You're saying you hold the crown in the locker room. That's what you're telling us right now?
It's a couple guys. We've had some
free agent
accusations.
He's a true quarterback. He's a true quarterback.
He just hit me with the "we had a couple free agent acquisitions." Did he just say that to me?
He's a quarterback, man. He's a quarterback.
It's a couple guys. It's always, to be honest, I like seeing some of the linemen dress up. That's always.
Yo, that's my
those guys
favorite.
Actually like seeing them take time to go get tailored suits and to actually get fitted is awesome to see.
Hey, Ty, so you were named one of SI's most fashionable athletes as well, correct?
We were on the list, Pete. We were on the list.
Yeah, that list was kind of,
So I'm basically the only one in the studio not on that list.
1,000%.
So
even our engineer Paul might have been on the list.
There was a couple of names of, man, I'm not going to get into that. But, yes, I was up there.
Gotcha. I know exactly what you're talking about, too, T. We're going to skip that one for when you're in studio. When you come check us, you come holler at us.
Okay, yeah, we could do that one then.
Just to give you a couple more questions before we let you go, I know that Mike Vick was a huge mentor to you growing up, and you know, and he's a good guy to follow because of his highs and lows and his trials and tribulations, how he's come out of it. And I know he just landed a TV gig starting this season off as well. So what kind of image and what kind of advice has he given you over the years and even up until now about either your game or just how you carry yourself on and off the field?
I would say the main thing that I learned from him, of course, he's a heck of a football player, a legend in my mind, and a legend in a lot of people's mind. But just to see what he went through with the situation in Atlanta and then transitioning into Philly, and for him to continue to keep battling, showing that the true person that he is, and, I mean, people still going to disagree on his character or however you want to say it, whenever you speak to him, but he's a great dude inside out, and I think just learning from him and his situation. I remember talking to him when he had just came home from prison at the time, and just about the stuff that he learned, how it humbled him, and just his tone of voice was definitely different and special. I definitely took a lot from that conversation.
I would say this: there are things in sports that probably keep people up at night, right? It's like LeBron James coming at you on a breakaway, right? Like Dion matched up with you, you know, on an island, right? Mm-hmm. Mike Vick in that black Atlanta uniform with that visor.
They had field turf back. Remember the field turf, T2? That was crazy.
Yeah, he was out there juking people in Jordan.
That was the craziest part, bro. He was out there juking people in Randy Moss J's. Like.
So, a funny story. People don't know this, but I know this because I went to Tech, but when Mike first got to Tech, he didn't have, I don't think he had like the proper shoes to run his 40 in, so he borrowed somebody Air Force Ones, and he ran like a 4.2. He ran a 4.2 in Air Force One.
What? I could totally see that, by the way. I could totally see that.
Yo, that's amazing.
4.2 in Air Force Ones.
They need to do a 30 for 30 just on that.
1,000%.
That's
like the Bo Knows joint when they got all these folklore stories about Bo Jackson.
Hey, Todd, speaking of sneakers, man, talk to us about your cleat game, man, and the thought that goes into it and kind of, you know, the focus you put into it.
Yeah, I've been pretty low-key this year on cleats. To be honest, I went back to last year's model, a black pair, which is crazy because this year we changed to a white cleat team, and I've been wearing black cleats this year. Mm. Last year we was a black cleat team, and I was wearing white cleats. So I think me and Vic actually had the same – or similar Nikes, white ones with the blue bottoms.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's all about comfort at this point. And Nike they've changed some cleats. I know a couple cleats they were waiting to get cleared as far as the bottoms wasn't ready for turf and grass. Mm-hmm. We practice on grass, but we play on turf, so our equipment manager wouldn't clear. So we had to send a couple pair of my cleats out to get the bottom switched on it. But it's all about the feel. People joke me in the locker room because on game day, I'll have like five to six pair of cleats in my locker just trying to figure out which ones I'm going to wear. I'm not a guy that needs to break in cleats. I can wear them straight out the box, and I just go with the feel, to be honest.
That's what's up. Last question, T. I know you got to go. I know you got to run, but I'd be remiss to not ask you about your thoughts and your feelings about the state of the NFL, obviously Donald Trump's remarks, obviously the kneeling that took place this past weekend, the statement that was made. Just give us your overall thoughts about, I guess, Donald Trump and the state, pretty much the state of the NFL.
Yeah, I think as players, we definitely have a platform, a special platform, one that many don't have, where we can voice our opinion and influence others. And I think it was special to see guys across this league, owners, players, coaches across this league, voice their opinion on what Trump has said over the last weekend. Definitely disrespectful in my mind. Mm-hmm. But that's what makes this country, is the freedom to be able to say things. I just hope as a league, we have a plan moving forward that it's not just something that'll fizzle out over the weeks. I want people to continue to be proactive and not reactive to statements, and just continue to keep having a conversation. I think as long as the conversation is being had, then people are going to continue to keep working their best to try to change things in this country, that's for sure.
I agree, man. T, you know you're always family on the show. You're family to me. Every time I see you, every time we kick it, man, it's always genuine. It's always a vibe. I definitely consider you one of my closest friends around the league. Keep balling. Keep doing your thing. Best of luck to you. And I'll see you around those stadiums, man, either in a uniform or with a microphone in my hand, brother.
I appreciate you, brother. Looking forward to it.
You already know.
All right, Ty. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, T.
Peace.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tyrod Taylor, man. Thanks again, T, for calling in. We appreciate you, all you Buffalo Bills fans out there that were tuning in.
He kept it real PC, too. He kept the lineman dress up and, you know, we all dress nice.
He knows good and well those linemen still got 9-button suits.
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Well, he said custom. They wear custom suits. I'm like, they weigh 350.
Exactly.
They have to get custom.
They have no choice.
But he was a true quarterback and leader, clearly, man.
100%, man. So thanks, T2. Good luck to you around the league. We'll definitely be tuning in and paying attention week in and week out. I think that's a wrap, P.
Another show in the books, brother.
Another show in the books. Another solid show, man. Thanks for everybody for tuning in.
One last time, where can they see you? NFL Network.
NFL Network every Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll probably be in a very, very lavish suit on the show. Maybe
not off the rack. Not off the rack.
Custom. Custom, B. I gotta go. Thank you guys for tuning into the show. We'll see y'all next time, man. We love y'all. Peace.
Peace.